our life isn't going to change. Our belief shouldn't change. We don't mold our belief around the world. We mold our belief around Jesus Christ. And so I just want to encourage you a little bit today. I know that some may have been shocked, and I'll say more about that another time. But just to let you know, God is on the throne, and he knows what he's doing. And we can thank God for that. I want to ask you a question, though, this morning, and I want you to think with me very carefully as I ask the question. Here's my question. How do you respond when you are facing a hugely difficult situation? How do you respond? Because there are times that you are going to find along the way you're going to come into those difficult situations in your life. And those who know God understand that no matter how difficult a situation is, we have a God that's bigger than those situations. And that is my heart in teaching this series through the summer. Because I know that every one of you from time to time will face major, major events in your life. My message today is God is all powerful. And you know, if I'm not careful, the temptation could be to kind of see, well, God is really big. I mean, he's huge. But what does that mean to me? You know, it's easy to think, you know, God's really big and everything's huge and it's a major, you know, he's able to take care of everything. But it's another thing for it to be personal. Again, going back to the question, how do you handle things that come in your life that are major? I was kind of doing a little bit of research, and I want to see how people respond just generally when tragedies come along the way in their life. And I found there's several unhealthy choices. I want to give you five of them, because maybe for you, you might fall into one of these categories. Number one, too much caffeine. I think there's no doubt about that. You know, you have a difficult situation, I need to get to Starbucks, you know, or whatever. You know, I got to go have a coffee break, or I need a cup of coffee. You know, and so sometimes, and you know, there's some people that I think they drink a pot of coffee in the morning, a pot of coffee in the afternoon, and one in the evening. I don't know how they can stay out of the bathroom when they do that, but some people do. Too much caffeine, that's an unhealthy response. Then there are others who take up smoking, maybe. You know, I go out and take a cigarette break. That's what I need. I need that. Or maybe drinking alcohol. Some people say, well, you know, that's how I deal with it. Whenever I have a problem, I just, you know, go tie one on. You know, I just kind of go, you know, I just, that's how I deal with things. Then there are others, compulsive spending. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do the mall. What I need is I'm going to go find something and buy it. And I want it to be expensive, you know. So that's how I deal with it. And then there are others who are emotional eaters. Now, most of us are eaters anyway, but I mean emotional eaters, think about it. They've been called, you know, if you would, compulsive eaters or binge eating, you know. My time is Sunday night. I mean, that's, you know, afterwards, you know, Sunday, I prepare all week. Come Sunday night, man, Sunday night, I'll eat anything in sight. You know, whatever it is, I'm going after it. It's not because it's been a tough day. It's just because I'm tired, you know. But you know, we all have a tendency to have these moments. These are unhealthy responses when you face a crisis or a difficulty or a heartache. But here's my question. Where is God in any of this? Where is God in any of this? These are the top five. Where is God? See, the problem is that even though we may be believers in here and know Christ, and I think probably the majority of you do, we still respond like this. That's kind of how we respond. I don't know what the percentage is of that who responded, but I know that as I'm searching through and looking, I'm asking, where is God in our responses? And Christian, I want to ask you, where is God in your response? And the truth of the matter is, you know, this world and life itself is a battlefield. I mean, it feels as though it's just filled with endless problems and heartaches and difficulties. And It seems as though we're searching for safe places to go hide. We like to find places where people will never forsake us, where things will never change, where things is constant. The things that bring us security along the way. But the unfortunate fact is life is always changing. Parents precede us in death. Our family gets older. Our kids marry and go off. And life brings this emptiness inside. And so we find ourselves responding. You know, politicians will say this. You elect me, your problems will go away. And then there's some people that say something like this. If you marry me, your problems will go away. It's kind of funny. My wife, you know, Jan and I, we, these years we've been married, we get invited every now and then. We've been invited, and we stopped going. But, you know, when we first married, you know, you hear this, hey, we want to tell you how you can get your life changed. Provide financial security. And you go, and then they tell you about a multi-level marketing scheme. They promise all those things, but how many agree with me that none of those things can give to you what you really need? How many agree with that? Amen? Those aren't the answers. That isn't where we go to find those answers. I feel as though there are people who are looking for answers this morning. I was thinking, I feel horrible. Last week, maybe some of you might have noticed in the paper, there was a young 16-year-old boy that was killed out here on airbase. And you know, I feel bad for the family because, man, can you imagine the horrific tragedy that would be to lose a teenager in a head-on collision like that? Must have been awful to report. I know the police tried to call and get a hold of me, but I was working. It was on Sunday. They tried to get a hold of me because they wanted me probably to go to the scene or help the family, and certainly I couldn't do that. But as I was thinking about that, how difficult that must have been to think about losing a teenager in a car crash like that. The pain, the suffering, all of those things that come along with something as tragic as that. And that's one of those things. Where do you go? How do you deal with things that come like that in your life? What happens? What do we do? And then as we get older, what do we do when our bodies begin to ache and have pain? Many people struggle with health issues. Seems as though that every day is just another battle. They're just fighting with all kinds of health issues and problems. Their bodies begin to have aches and pains. They never even knew they had an ache and pain in that area of their life. Will things ever get back to normal? Will we ever get cured of these problems? And then there are those who lose jobs. Right now in America, 5.5% of Americans are not working, which is about 8.7 million people. That's a huge number of people, if you think about it, without work. And many of them are probably wondering, will I ever get my job back? Will it ever get back to normal? People have lost their homes and cars and precious things just simply out of survival. But then the strange thing about all of that is many times we are guilty of this thinking that God is not big enough to take care of our needs. Even Christians are like that. We have the tendency to think that God is not big enough to care for our needs. The temptation to believe that God can't do those things that we need for him to do. My question goes back, what do you do? And then here's another question. What place has God put you in this life that you're living now where you have to depend totally, 100% on God? Well, I must tell you this. The only way that any of us can ever know that we're going to heaven is we can only know we're going to heaven through Jesus Christ. You can't depend on religion. You can't depend on your good works. You can't depend on your religious rituals. You can't depend on anything else but Jesus Christ. But then beyond that, we do have situations that come in our life that are uncontrollable. It's not anything that maybe necessarily we made a bad choice about and we're stuck here. It's just things come in life. But let me give you just a quick reminder. Never underestimate the power of God in your current situation. You see, while you have all this, and while we read it, we find all throughout the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation about the power of God, how powerful God is, how awesome God is, how God is so amazing and so powerful. And we sit there in awe and read that and say, that's truly amazing. We read about the stories and the events that happen in people's lives, but now the question comes, how does that apply to me? How do I deal with that? How do I deal with this situation and this circumstance in my life? Sometimes we get confused between the work of God and the work of man. It seems as though we have the idea that, you know, we have to work for God, and when we work for God, then God will do something for us, as if to think that all the things that happen in life is all up to us, when the fact is that it's all up to God. So we have a tendency that we want to back away from those things, and we have the tendency that we want to kind of pull back from church or commitment or doing anything because we have the idea that we just know we can't do it. We get the idea that we can never teach that class, or we could never work in the nursery, or never could sing in the choir. We could never do anything in the church, or we could never talk to our neighbor, or we could never be able to do the things that other people do. We just kind of convince ourselves because we think it's all up to us. Then there are those along the way that I think of who are divorced. Sometimes they find themselves that they feel rejected. They feel rejected from people and circumstances and situations, and perhaps even going to church is difficult because they don't know how people will read them. But I'm here to tell you that God's the place of acceptance. God's the place of forgiveness. He's the place of healing for our lives. Then we come to those magical moments in our life. You know those times, those transitions that occur in your life? The things like when you go from 30 to 40. I remember when I hit the 40-year-old mark, I thought my life was ruined. Really, 40 years old. Good night, I'm 40 now. You know, because it was at that point, all of a sudden, all the energy of my youth began to diminish. Maybe you felt that way too. You know, all the enthusiasm that you had, all those things you had, now they begin to change. And then when you go from 40 to 50, oh no, I'm half a century at this point. Now I'm really in trouble because now life, I'm heading on the other side down the road. You know, it's at that point that the energy goes about 0.5%. You know, I don't have it anymore, and man, I'm struggling with it, and my kids are now growing up, they're getting ready to get married, some of them already, you know, and I look around and all my friends are now grandparents, and grandma start looking real pretty. Really? What's going on with me? You know, it's those life transitions. And I'll be honest with you, that 30 to 40 was tough, but man, when I hit that 50 mark, that was really, really hard. People call it the midlife crisis. Maybe that's what it was. I don't know what it was. Women go through some things similar to that, but the fact is that all of us have these life transitions. How do we deal with those things? How are we doing with them? You know, because some of us, we can sit here in church and we can look real good and maybe sing the songs and, you know, think everything's okay and all those kind of things. But can I be honest with you? Every one of us have those things that happened in our lives on a regular basis. If it's not something that happened with our kids, it's not something that happened with our spouse, it's not something that happened at work, if it's not something that happened in our neighborhood, if it's not something that happened in our economics, if it's not something that happened in our house, it's something happening in our life transition. And so the fact is that we need God. And let me tell you this, not only do we need God, we need a powerful God. We need a God that is all powerful, because believe me, we are not alone in this situation. All of us are there. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 27. I want you to look at the story of the life of a man who is there. In Psalm 27, we're introduced to David. Most of the Psalms, it seems as though when I read them, I just connect with David's life. Because Psalm 27, here's the common thought, here's the big overriding thought in Psalm 27. God is all you need. Can I say it again? God is all you need. Will you say it with me? God is all you need. When you read Psalm 27, what God wants you to realize is He is all you need. You know, we think, you know, we like to look, put everything into the physical world. Well, you know, I need this, I need that. Let me just tell you this. Without God, we won't have anything. We do need God. And the truth of the matter is, we can't deal with a lot of these matters that come along the way in our life. I can't deal with these problems and these challenges and these transitions in my life. I can't deal with any of that without having God in my life. Look at Psalm 27. David writes about this situation in his life. Look what he says. The Lord is my light and my light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell, though a host should encamp against me. My heart shall not fear, though war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me upon my rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing praises unto the Lord. All of us have cell phones. And, you know, we have these cell phones, and have you ever noticed something that's strange about a cell phone? When you buy it, it seems like the battery life runs really, really good. You know, you get a new cell phone, and it'll last for, you know, like, maybe 2 days. But one thing I found about cell phones, they run out of charge eventually. Now, you can get something they call a Mophie juice pack. Anyone ever have a Mophie juice pack? Okay. I remember someone telling me a Mophie juice pack. I thought they were joking with me. I thought it was just a word they made up. But then my phone, when it started going out, I started looking for a Mophie juice pack, you know. And you plug it in, and it kind of like holds you just a little bit longer until you can get to a power supply. Well, the power supply obviously is the unlimited resources of electricity, provided you pay the bill, obviously. But, you know, you want to plug in because it gives you that. Then you unplug it, and you can go off, and you're untethered by that, and you go off and you do whatever. Well, the unfortunate part is that many people, that's how they live their life. You see, really, we have an unlimited supply of God's power. But what we like to do is disconnect. We want to get our fill, so we try to get it on Sunday morning, maybe Sunday night, and then we disconnect and go off, and we kind of burn out that supply. when if we recognize the fact that God gives us an inexhaustible supply of His power that's available to us every day. You have it and I have it. So when we talk about the power of God, we're saying simply this, that God's power is unlimited, that God is all-powerful, that God is well able to give to us everything we need when we face heartaches and tragedies and challenges and transitions and all the other things that come in our life and when people don't understand and we may have to go through some really, really hard times, we have the power of God to give us the strength, the ability to get through those things in our life. But we like to disconnect. We don't like being plugged into that. And the problem is we put the emphasis too much on us and not on Him. Now here, David, we don't know the exact time period in this psalm where David penned these words. But we believe, and I did a lot of research on this psalm. I want to kind of get the background to it. This was before David became the king. And more than likely that Saul was pursuing him. Because if you remember that Saul pursued David for 10 years before David became the king. He was jealous of Saul. Remember when the ladies came out and they sang. And you know, that's always a dangerous thing when a lady sings to a man. And she came out and she says, you know, she was singing and they were singing out in public. And they said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands. Boy, it made Saul angry. He was jealous. He wanted to get rid of David, and David was now the appointed king, and more than likely in the whole scheme of all of this, that now David being the king of Israel, the king who is now, or who was going to be, rather, he's not the king yet, but he was going to be the king of Israel, who is now going to be in charge of running the nation, but Saul wanted to get rid of him completely. And so David is writing in this time period when he's fleeing from Saul in the woods, and perhaps as he's writing this, he's saying, you know, I need a God that's bigger than Saul. Saul was head and shoulders taller than anybody else in the kingdom. He was a powerful ruler, and he was a very strong, intimidating individual. But here, David said, I need God. I need God. I'm weak. I can't do it on my own. I've got to have God. And I want to tell you this morning. You can't do it on your own. You need a God that's all powerful. You need a God that's going to take care of you. You need a God that's going to help you. And whatever you're going through in life. I mean, when we talk about the power of God and getting to know God. Man, this is so key to the Christian life. This power of God is not just something for us to sit back and say, wow, that's really big, and then walk off. This power is available to every one of us as we rely on God to help us through these struggles. And all of you and I are going through that. I like what Andy Stanley said about this. He said, God often showcases His power on the stages of human weakness. That's good. I like that. God often showcases His power on the stages of human weakness. Sometimes you find yourself totally weakened. Life brings those things along the way, and God is explaining to every one of us here, wherever you are, whatever you're dealing with in life, whatever stage you're going through, and sometimes it seems like there's some people that's going through one stage, after another stage in life. Whatever it is that you're going through, God says that His power is there to meet every human need you could possibly have. He's there to meet it. Now, He describes that for us. And I want you to think about this morning and see how practical this is. There are three descriptions that God describes about His power. Number one, I notice here that He describes that He is our light. He is our light. What does that mean? Well, the natural image is that everything positive. everything that's joyful, everything that is vital that God is to us. One of the things I have found, especially in the last year or so, is the most precious time in my entire day is that morning time with God. I can just kind of disconnect and turn off everything else and just kind of get alone with God and just let God show me who He is. I want to know God. Because I realize that this world is changing and life is moving at a rapid pace, and I need a God that's bigger than those things in my life, and so do you. He's our light. The psalmist records in Psalm 43, "Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles." Psalm 97 says this, "Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart." You see, God is our light. You see, we live in a darkened world, and because this world is dark and our lives are darkened by sin, the Bible said that Jesus is the light of the world. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you know Him? Is He your personal Savior? And because He's our personal Savior, we're reminded of the fact that He is there to take care of those needs. But secondly, notice, He's not only the light, He is our strength. He is our strength. The idea is He's our stronghold, our place to retreat into for safety. When we are weak, when we are tired, when we are almost defeated, when we are worn down, we have a God that gives us the strength to energize us spiritually. Isaiah 40, verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." David said that, you know, I need a God that's my strength. You know, I think there's some people that does that for us. We need someone to kind of give us that strength. It's amazing how when you're around someone who can give you strength, it's like maybe you're afraid when you're alone, but when you have them with you, they kind of just give you that strength that we're going to move forward. God says, "I'm that kind. That's who I am." Only magnified over any human, God says, "I'm your strength." If you're weary and tired right now, and some people do, they get weary and tired in life. I'm amazed at how many suicides I'm hearing. It seems to be on the rise right now. The conditions of the world are pretty ugly, and people are trying to have all these unhealthy responses to find that they fail. The only thing that really will help us through this is God. Why would we go to some other unhealthy means when God is saying, "I'm here for you. I'm your light. I'm your strength." And then thirdly describes, "I'm your salvation." See that? He's our salvation. And what that means is, if God is my salvation, that means that there is salvation nowhere else. I can't get salvation anywhere else. He's the only one who can give me eternal life. He's the only one that died on the cross for my sins. He's the only one that can give me a promise of heaven. And the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "He's the gift of God." The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank God that Jesus made it possible. And it's a gift. You can't pay for it. It's already been paid for by Jesus. The Bible says that God offers that to us. Now, if we notice here that David is writing, he's saying, because of all these things, as he contemplated, meditated on these things, and looked at his situation, he said, "I have confidence." But his confidence is not in himself. His confidence is in God. And I want to tell you, the reason why David can have a public confidence is because he has a private obedience and relationship with God. And that's the only way that we can have confidence in our walk with God, is as we, in a private time, we spend with God, we obey God, we take fellowship, we spend time with Him. And then in verse 4, if you notice in Psalm 27, verse 4, notice what it says. He says, "One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life." The imagery here is of abiding in God forever. The imagery is that of the host who provides a place of provision and protection for his guests. Out in the desert, they would travel along and they needed someone to provide that for them. Maybe they'd be tired and weary and they need a place to go for rest. And so they would find someone who would be a good host or hostess and would invite them in, and they would be able to rest, and they could comfortably let themselves have ease and relaxation while the host or hostess took care of them until they're able to get their strength and energy to move on. And the Bible says that you and I, when we are weakened by the world and by the situations of this world, that the one thing that we can have is that we can have confidence to believe that as we abide in God, and that's the image here of abiding in Christ, as John 15 tells us, as we abide in Him, then we can be strengthened by God Himself. He's our provision. I like what Paul writes, and he says these words. He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. How do I get through all of that? What does God want me to do then? What is it that I should do? If He knows everything about me, and He says to me that I want to give you everything that your soul needs, what does God want me to do? Well, the very first thing He wants every one of us to do is to call upon Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. If you've never trusted Christ today, this is the day to do that. The Bible says now is the day of salvation. And salvation means that we realize that we're sinners and we can't go to heaven on our own, that we need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus Christ. But then second of all, this means for every believer that we summon God's power on a daily basis. Well, I need God's power every day. This morning when I got up, I bowed and said, "Lord, this is your day. I want to honor you today. And Lord, I need your power as I stand before people to preach, as I live my life during the day. Lord, whatever you bring along this day, I don't know what this day is going to bring. The day's not over with yet. But Lord, I just want your power. I need your power. Lord, I need that in my life every day." And every one of us in here, we need to summon God's power every day. Then thirdly, I'm going to ask you if you'll seek God's power daily this week. I don't know what the week's going to play out. I don't know how it's going to play out. I feel sure that probably this time a week ago, that this family whose son was driving his vehicle down airbase never thought that would be the last time they'd ever see their son. I don't even know what it must have been like for those family members whose family went to a church on a Wednesday night in Charleston, South Carolina, just about 10 days ago, and they went, and that was the last time they'd ever see their family. We don't know what this week is going to bring us. We don't know what we're going to face, but we do know this: we have a God that's big and powerful. Amen and amen. We have a God that's personal. We have a God that can take care of every one of our needs, and God is saying to all of us today that His strength is and power is available for every one of us. And I'm going to ask you if you would make the decision right now, today, this moment, and you will pray every day for God's power. Every day when you get up to go to work or go to school or wherever you go, that you'll pray daily for God's power this week. You see, when we seek the presence of God in our life, He gives us power over our sin and over the things that we face in our life. Having God's power will enable us to deal with the struggles that come in our life. So, God shows us why. He's everything we need in this life. He's it, and there is no other. Let's pray. Heavenly Father,